I have a theory. It's going to take a minute to get to. You ready? How long has Mike Tomlin been a head coach with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Probably don't know off the top of your head. I know off the top of my head. I'll tell you.
18 years.
18 years. There you go. That's right. There were children born in a graduated high school, and they've only known one head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is incredible when you think about it. How long of that time do we talk about Cowher being a head coach again in the NFL? Anyway, I have a theory I'd like to share with you. Mike Tomlin, he spoke yesterday, correct? Correct. And Mike Tomlin, he talked about Nick Chubb, called him Mr. Chubb, talked about Myles Garrett, but also had this to say about Steeler fans on the road.
We've been really fortunate in road game environments this year in terms of the support of our fans and their ability to acquire tickets, man, D.C., Atlanta, Vegas, Denver, et cetera. I don't know that that's going to happen in Cleveland. I know as a collective, we better be prepared for a hostile environment, the dog pound, et cetera.
Well, you see, you say that, but Owen took a look at the market before the show today. What's the cheapest ticket you saw? Do you know the cheapest ticket off the top of your head?
We can't just say
it. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes, it's
true. My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
That market, which on Sunday, right after the Saints game and the Steelers had not yet beat the Ravens.
Yeah.
That market was at $91. Currently, that is with fees. Currently, you can get into the building for $65 with fees.
$65 including the fees.
Yes.
So am I looking at on That's the other price. Site? I know which site you're looking at. I'm looking on the other site.
Okay.
And they're all $34, $42, $43, wow. $44,
$45. $4.
And I imagine the same will happen on that one. I imagine just because the weather too, I think is going to be a big part of it. I think Browns fans were selling their tickets. They were open for business start of the week. Because they're very frustrated. They don't want to go support what is going on right now. Certainly what they saw in the fourth quarter. I mean, maybe it's a different scenario if the Browns, you know, keep it tight or actually win that game against the Saints. But it went the opposite way in the fourth, and I think that that and the weather probably don't want to sit with a bunch of Steeler fans. The Steelers are 8-2.
Yeah.
They probably don't want to sit and try to watch a game with a bunch of Steeler fans. So That's not for everybody. That atmosphere, some people love that. Some people have Steeler fans in their life, and they probably go to these games all the time and see them in their row or whatever, and so they get up for it. It's getting up for the fight, the figurative fight. But this week, when your team's not showing the fight, do you really want to get up for the fight?
I love confrontations, and I love awkward. But no, I agree with you. I would not want to be like the 537 boys. I don't know. Do Steeler fans go venturing in the 537?
I would not advise being in the 537 if you're wearing black and gold.
Because if you are a Browns fan still sitting in the 537, there is a big, big, big... You are there and you are dedicated. It is a blood oath, my friend, if you're in the 537. But this is my theory. Tomlin's been around 18 years. And in Tomlin's time, he's had at least, what, seven head coaches coach against him for the Cleveland Browns?
Jeez. Sounds about right.
Now, the Browns have preached patience. Patience. I think he smells blood in the water. He knows Kevin Stefanski's been a coach that's beaten him in the playoffs, that has actually split the series here over the last few years. It's usually been 1-1. I know we lost to Duck Hodges a couple years ago, but you know we've beaten them. And I think that Mike Tomlin sees an opportunity because the Browns are 2-8. And the vibes, the culture, it's not good. Everything about it is down. Everything about it is ugly. People want to get into the Cavs, which we will get into the Cavs. We got the biggest game of the year coming up tonight. We will get into the Cavs soon, I promise. It is not lost on us. But do you think there's a thing where he goes, all right, that owner's going to be at this stadium on Thursday. If we roll them up and we got our whole fan base in their stadium waving their towels, you think he might squeeze the trigger?
I've seen.
You think that Mike Tomlin might be thinking about that in the back of his head, going, you know, if we put them out of their misery and we snuff them out Friday morning, he might get, because before Mike Tomlin was able to roll over every Browns coach you had, except for like they lost one game to Mike Pettine. Other than that, they just would just roll over us.
Right. But yeah, 2019 was split, and then Stefanski comes in 2020, split. Then they win the playoff game, so Stefanski's got the early edge.
Yes.
Steelers fire back in 21. That's Big Ben's final year. They actually win both of those games. Both were competitive. 22 and 23 splits.
So this is the only Browns coach that's kind of been somewhat of a thorn in his side.
Sure. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
He smells the blood in the water and goes, I can make that owner do something. I can make that owner make a decision here and get this guy away from me. Do you think that that might be a possibility? He thinks about the entire thing, man.
Yeah.
He thinks about the entire scenario.
Now, if you're asking me, is there a possibility Stefanski really loses his job after this week, I would say no. I do not think that's going to happen.
Now, I would hope not, but I said if they make the decision, well, then you want to make the decision sooner than later because you got Mike Vrabel there, but of course you have to go through all the steps of hiring a new head coach in the NFL, which there are multiple steps to that.
Even at an interim level?
Could you make him the interim head coach and then just name it? I don't know. These are steps beyond I want to take.
Yeah, I still, and by the way, we didn't really talk about it a lot yesterday. I know some people saw, when they go back and look at our chapters, it says everybody's getting fired on the chapter. I mean,
is that what you wrote, Mitch? You wrote everybody's getting fired?
I think the conclusion... Yes. Is that what it is?
Yes.
No, Mitch is under the weather, so we've decided to take matters into our own hands.
Yes. Spot on, Lima.
Finally, I had some support.
Where did you find that?
Good morning, guys.
I thought that's right. See, Mitch knows what time it is tonight.
Cavs coming up soon.
Yeah, we will get there.
I agree, Ken.
We thought AI would be bad. This is some good stuff.
And it technically hasn't taken his job yet.
No, he's doing a great job.
He's still here.
Yeah, Mitch is doing a great job.
Mitch, I disagree.
Is your voice okay today, Mitch? Did you did you rebound?
No.
So you had to listen to the final segment yesterday.
Oh, man, everybody's not feeling good. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's kind of hitting us one by one. So I think there's an inevitability that if they like lose out, yes, everybody is probably going to lose their jobs. There's probably going to be a house cleaning.
If they lose out.
Yeah, if they lose out. But losing this game, I do not think. I would actually, even though the Haslams are the owners and we know how things happen, and I know it's going to be a very, very ugly scene if they lose that game and the weather's not going to be good. It's going to be a perfect storm, so to speak. I do not think he's getting fired if they lose that game. I would be surprised.
Now, you're saying you or the owner?
I'm saying I would be surprised
if
he lost his job. And furthermore, I also think...
I would be surprised as well, to be honest with you.
I also actually don't think Vrabel would be the interim. I don't think he would want to do it. I think it's a bad time to take over a football team. And so do you want that stain on you? If, like, Vrabel were to take over next week and they lost out, then we wouldn't
think
want
it stains him.
Yeah, because our fans would all of a sudden they'd be like, "Are we sure about Vrabel?" That would already happen. They're like, "You know, he did get run out of his last job. Are we absolutely positive?"
I don't know. I've seen enough to think Lima that makes he a gets great a point. Free pass for the rest of the year, no matter what happens.
But Lima makes a great point. As long as interim is next to his name, it's always like a trial run. Like it's like a 90-day onboarding. Like, well, are you sure? You sure you want to make this person?
Well, they can't make him the official head coach yet.
I mean, that's right. Yeah. I just think Owen already now he'll have a record, and it's not going to be good. They're going to be underdogs in all these games. The bottom could fall out with some of the veterans, and even if Rabel's there, like, what do some of these older guys think? Like, that aren't going to be here in the future? Are they really going to care? Are they going to put it all out there on the line? Like, I could see a scenario. Now there's the other scenario, which is they win a bunch of games and then it's perfect. It's obvious.
I just also don't see a scenario where Mike Vrabel is working with the current front office and everything like that. Like, that's another part to it as well. Like, you can name him the interim head coach all you want, but like if you had plans to make him the long-term guy, then I'm sorry. Like, I want it to work out with Andrew. I just don't know if it's going to, and that would be another conversation that you have to have. Like, But I go back to when John Dorsey was hired halfway through the... I think it was hired in December.
Yes.
John Dorsey
yes.
was and hired remember, in December.
Remember, what he... famous to this show. You remember what he did immediately.
He Let started, me borrow a book.
Which book was it?
It was...
it's about Minnesota football?
Say, no. It was...
It'll take you 14 months to read.
Was it a... look, no, hold on. Yeah, I know the book.
So he went in the locker room. You remember, Dorsey started yes. hanging out in the locker room. It was a brilliant move.
They brought him in after Thanksgiving.
Yes, just for him to be there to feel it. And, you know, there's optics involved too, but all of a sudden he started talking to everybody. He started measuring everybody up. You know, kind of taking inventory of, all right, who's here? But beyond the talent, because we can see the talent on the tape. Like, what are these guys really thinking? What is this really like? And now Vrabel's already been there. I also do wonder, I mean, have you seen the odds to become the next Dallas Cowboys head coach?
No, what are the odds?
Mike Vrabel is the leader. It goes Mike Vrabel, Ben Johnson, Bill Belichick, Brian Flores, Lane Kiffin, Deion Sanders, Joe Brady, Cliff Kingsbury. Anyway, Vrabel is number one on that list. And it's just an offshore sports book, okay? But the fact that Vrabel is there, I mean... do we think there's a chance that Jerry Jones in the last 2 weeks has already established contact with his agent?
Yes.
I mean, doesn't that make sense too?
Yeah, true.
Doesn't have to talk to Vrabel, but this is going to be, I don't know if arms race probably isn't the term. This is going to be the mad dash to try to figure out where Vrabel is going to be next year and how many owners, you know, we're mentioning two of them that could be interested in Haslam and Jerry Jones, but there certainly could be others.
It was a Walter Camp book, if I'm not mistaken, and it had all the outlines of football. It was amazing. It was a very nice book. I mean, it was like...
Walter Football?
No, and it was not Walter Football. It was by Walter Camp. For the love of God. Anyway, I'm sorry. I was looking up that book, and I totally lost track of what you were saying.
That
Mike Vrabel could end up being in Dallas?
Yeah, he is going to be a big-ticket item for a number of owners.
Yeah, and that's why, like, to me, money's money. Like, I don't know. If Jerry Jones wants to offer him $300 million, then what are you going to do? But why I think...
our owner's got money, too.
But you could always say, like, well, our roster's better, this and the other. Like, he's going to have to choose which mess he wants to coach. All of them are messy situations one way or the other.
No, Vrabel's agent is, right?
Who?
Northeast Ohio's own, Neil Kornrich. Want me to text him?
No.
Still supposed to send me gear.
No.
Neil, I'm size. I think the hoodies, I might be a large now, but everything else is medium.
Don't text him.
NC Sports.
Okay, everybody, if the Browns lose on Thursday, then you can call Lima on Friday and tell him to text Neil Kornrich.
I mean, I know where he goes out. I know his hotspots.
I know. Don't go texting Neil Kornrich or running him down, all right? Just hold on. Turn the music off. Turn the music off. No, turn it down.
No,
you're turning it up.
Went
turn
the wrong
it down.
Way. The dial's wrong.
Lima, we were at the Keepers Foundation.
Smart. Yeah,
Come on. Come on. Give him a chance. And give him a chance here.
There's still time to turn it around.
He's a good person.
There is still time to turn it around.
There's time to turn it around. Well, I mean, there's time. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Now, sometimes the charities stay in the city. They don't always go with the coach.
It is called the Keepers Foundation.
not the Takers.
Not the Leavers. Foundation.
Okay, don't call it. Don't call Neil Kornrich yet. Stop your jokes. Knock it off.
Yes.
Did you hear Scott? Stop it in there. Did you hear Scott Petrak yesterday?
I did.
And then he wrote an article about not firing Kevin Stefanski.
I did.
Okay.
Okay, there's the first. I didn't think Stefanski would need a full-fledged defense. I thought his body of work spoke for itself. Clearly, clearly with a lot of fans, they don't care about a body of work. They're just looking at what's their record right now.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, wait until Friday before you go texting Neil Kornrich, all right?
Okay.
Yeah, ticket price is down to $34 to get in. Does that not include fees?
I don't believe that includes fees.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Tack on some fees, but by the end of the week.
You're in for $50. You're in for $50. Here you go. All right.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
We did have some Monday Night
Football,
Kenny.
Don't call Neil Kornrich. Put the phone down.
I did not call. I just want the gear. When you're promised gear, you like to get the gear. That's all.
Gear of what? NFL teams? Or agency?
He's got it all. He's got it all over there on the east side.
Can he get me something San Jose State?
that wouldn't mess with your Iowa State stuff, so you'd be good. But I just want to ask, did you watch any of the Monday Night Football game? This was an easy auto skip for me.
I watched a little bit.
You did?
Yeah.
How much did you need to watch as Houston was up 14-0?
Not terribly much. They missed a field goal. I watched until they hit the field goal, then there was a penalty on Houston, and then later in the drive they went for it on 4th-and-2, didn't convert, it was 20-10. I went, that's it? I think the final score was what, 30-10? 34-10, yeah. There you go.
Hey, Cooper Rush.
So I didn't miss much except for two more touchdowns.
He did throw for 354. I know a lot of people were talking about Jameis's output last week. Bad teams, quarterbacks, they will get their shot. They will get their shot to throw the football
around. We have a bad team. We had a starting quarterback. He got nowhere near even 300 yards, let alone 395.
That is what, you know what, to get back to that, I know this wasn't what we were going to talk about at all, and we'll move on quickly because we don't want to bury this dead horse after we've already pounded it enough. Kenny, I love how over the last few days there have been some of the Watson truthers come out and said, we told you we were right all along. It wasn't just Watson's fault. It's like, yeah, but why couldn't he get more than 180 yards in a passing game? Why is it so easy for Jameis Winston to go out there and throw for... Jameis could have thrown for 400. Why is it so easy?
I'm sure somebody...
Why is Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman...
I'm sure somebody will find a way to do the mental gymnastics. Because I've known anything over the last 3 years, there are people... I mean, they make Mary Lou Retton look like she can't walk down a sidewalk with the mental gymnastics they're willing to do over that quarterback.
Where are all the sacks? Where are all the sacks?
Well, that's what they're going to use, and they're going to say that the O-line wasn't healthy. And the O-line's not healthy now either, but...
No.
Wyatt Teller was out the whole time that when Watson was the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
But still.
He
ran into a ton of sacks on his own.
I think that's
the
moral of the story, right?
He made sacks happen when there were no sacks.
I do think Jack Conklin played well. Can we extend him? Time to extend him?
Four more years.
Meanwhile,
even more money.
Meanwhile, Kevin Stefanski held serve yesterday. Showing some of that world-famous emotion in his press conference with Browns reporters, his Zoom call. Now, Stefanski, in some ways, a short week might work out for them because it means short memory.
Thursday night games don't allow you really to spend much time thinking about the previous one. You got to get on the next opponent, understand what they're about as a team, offense, defense, special teams, all those things. So we need to lock in this week versus a division opponent.
Okay, so when you're playing the Steelers, they are coming off a very physical game against...
All their games are physical. It's the Steelers.
Well, it's true.
They challenge everyone as men.
I think it's just because, even though, funny thing is, defensively, Baltimore hasn't been good this year. That was like Baltimore, probably their best defensive performance of the season just because they limited Pittsburgh to all field
goals. Also happened to be the Steelers' best performance of the season defensively because they have one of the best offenses in the NFL, Baltimore does.
Yeah, so... Overall, do you think short week, long week, does it matter to the Browns at this point? Does this help them?
Short weeks, long weeks, doesn't matter. Next week when you play the Broncos, it'll be a long week. And will it matter? We'll find out.
Stefanski pressed on what the situation is currently at left tackle with Jedrick Wills.
Do you feel like if he can get out there that maybe he would be your best option to replace DeJuan this weekend?
We'll see how it goes over the next couple days.
That's a no. That is a no.
They have not cut Jed Wills. I know there was some thought that he could just flat out get cut. The other thing.
Wait a minute. Kenny. She asked, is he your best option? Is that what she asked?
Do you feel like if he can get out there that maybe he would be your best option to replace DeJuan this weekend?
Did you see Jermaine Effetti?
We'll see how it goes over the next couple days.
Did you see Jermaine Effetti on Sunday? Yeah, you did. He ain't the best option.
No?
Nah. Nah, he ain't the best option.
I agree, Ken.
Nah. We'll see how it goes in the next couple days, meaning nope.
We get another this week. Are we going to get another chance to talk to Wills and in the locker room?
I imagine it's very difficult to be in Kevin Stefanski's doghouse. So once you're in it, I don't know if you're ever getting out.
Boy, that's interesting. Who has been...
I think it's got to be very difficult to be in Kevin Stefanski's doghouse.
Like, we think about Mike Tomlin, the Harbaughs. Like, there can be, in any NFL coach, There is a doghouse.
Yeah, but he's
who
not.
Who has been in the Kevin Stefanski doghouse?
Maybe a little bit of Njoku. Maybe. But like, Stefanski is not.
Was Odell? Even after all those antics? Genevieve and Clowney,
well,
after all that we found out behind the scenes from Mary Kay, that's like, they were dealing with this all year?
Because Kevin is the way it is. He's like, hey, man, you can be mad at me, but this is the way it goes. Like, this is the system of how we're running things, so we're either going to do it or we're not. And so if you've made Kevin mad, boy, I think you're in a weird spot there, man. I think it's almost impossible to make Kevin Stefanski really mad at you. I mean, really, really mad at you. And it seems like he's not very thrilled here.
All right. How about NBA? Cleveland Cavs and the Boston Celtics. The most eagerly anticipated matchup of the young NBA season. It is tonight. The Cavs, the Celtics, Cavs 15-0. Boston 11-3, the defending champs. A little bit of injury news. Okoro is questionable. Wade, can't call him D-Wade. Wade has already been listed as out.
Dean W.
For this game, Merrill is questionable. LeVert is questionable. Garland's fine, which is good. I was a little worried about Garland. He is fine.
Yeah.
So the Cavs are not exactly going to be all fully healthy, and obviously we know the Celtics will not have Porzingis. Jrue Holiday missed their last game against Toronto, a narrow victory. He will play, according to Joe Mazzulla, who also had this to say about a pretty big matchup.
They're shooting the ball really well, all those guys. They're playing at a high level right now, for sure, and they got a lot of talent, but I think some of the small tweaks that they've made and then just their ability to shoot the ball.
He actually gave a serious answer for once. Does that mean he's taking the Cavs seriously? Joe Mazzulla has...
I think we're ready for a fight.
Yeah, given these comedy press conference routines. But it sounds like they are certainly taking this game seriously. I'm just excited about early season game. Now, we're going to talk about the stakes of this game, obviously, but... I am going to tell you, I'm gonna try to watch like the first half. I'm going to try to just enjoy good basketball. We'll Stop. See how long. We'll see how long that
take it,
lasts.
Take it seriously. What do you mean? I'm trying to enjoy good
remember,
basketball.
Remember, it is a November basketball
God,
game.
Shut up.
Well, didn't
take it seriously.
Haven't a lot of people told you, like, are we really going to be talking about this game come
But that's a loser.
April
we
and
probably
May.
Won't be, but you know what? Stop taking a loser mentality, a soft mentality, a scared mentality,
I'm not
take
scared.
It seriously.
I'm not scared.
You know what? You sound scared when you say, I'm just going to try to enjoy good basketball.
Well, because they play.
That's what you sound like.
Their opponents, but really both these teams, have had kind of very easy schedules. Basically, if you're in the Eastern Conference, you've had very easy schedules because there hasn't been a lot of, you know, mixing of the East and the West so far this year and the whole East. I mean, did you see Philadelphia last night?
I did not. No. I'm
embarrassing.
Sorry.
Embarrassing loss. They're talking about firing their coach, Nick Nurse. Embarrassing effort against Miami. So the East is so bad. It's nice to finally have like a team that will command some respect. We really haven't had that. I mean,
no.
look at the teams the Cavs have played so far. How many teams have you respected
that
they played?
A few of them.
The Knicks.
I respected Philly going in. That's odd.
Well, I know. Not this
Did
version.
Did you respect them coming out?
Yeah.
No.
All right, that's it for about last night.
So they got Joe Mazzulla yesterday. That's Sam Hauser.
Yeah, that's Sam Hauser. The Celtics star, Sam Hauser.
We can't get Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. We have to get Sam Hauser.
They could not be bothered.
Was there audio, or did they just not get the audio? Like, did they actually speak, or did they just not get it?
No, this is who we got.
Sam Hauser.
Sam Hauser, here. I'll give you a different one.
Obviously, they're a really good team. They got a lot of good guards, good length. I feel like their bigs are playing well. Obviously, their guards are all-star level guards. So, I mean, it's going to be a good matchup. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be competitive, and, you know, hopefully the Boston crowd comes out.
Peyton Pritchard.
Where's Luke Kornet? We didn't hear from him, or Xavier Tillman?
He's awesome. He is awesome.
Pritchard did have a good series against us. He made shots.
He did.
Luke Every Kornet. Shot.
All right. Sam Hauser. Great. Awesome. Boy, you can feel that. It's a palpable feeling over there in Boston as we get ready for this game.
Taking it seriously.
Could tonight change the way you feel about the Cavs for the rest of the year? In the postseason? Answer that after this. Start your game day with the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show after Afternoon Drive's Nick Wilson and Spencer Germ. Jonathan Peterlin. They're broadcasting live this Thursday from 2 to 7 at Fairview Tavern in Fairview Park. Make the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns, 92.3 The Fan. It's presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing, and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. Cook tonight. Change the way you view the Cleveland Cavaliers, one way or the other. One way or the other. Tone, answer the question.
Yeah, I think it could. I think it absolutely could. I
agree.
It now shouldn't, right? It really shouldn't.
It will, and this may be where I'm in my own head here. So keep me honest. Keep me honest. I think it would. You say it shouldn't. I think it can. I think it alters how I feel how they can get through a ceiling. But I wouldn't feel like terribly worse if they lost tonight against Boston. I don't know one wants to discuss that. But like, if they lost tonight against Boston, I'm going to be like, oh, they're a bunch of frauds. Like, that's not going to happen.
No, nobody should be calling
but
the Cavs.
But if they win.
If the Cavs lost tonight, and we talked about the injury issues. If you're just joining us now, you've got Sam Merrill's questionable. LeVert is questionable. Okoro is questionable. Wade is out.
Dean Wade is out.
And Wade being out is of particular interest to me because one thing the Celtics, I thought, were able to do last year in that series, in that five-game series, they were really able to take advantage of posting up like Garland, posting up Mitchell, and posting up Strus, who obviously is not going to play tonight. They could get those matchups with Tatum and Brown that really, really is the difference in what they're able to do. Because remember, Porzingis was not healthy in that series. They just could pick us apart with those matchups. And doesn't mean it wasn't a competitive series. Like, those games had moments where they were very competitive. But it felt like in that series when the Celtics wanted to, they really took advantage of some of the personnel issues. In this case, not having Wade out there, it really stinks because he can kind of get up into both Tatum and Brown in a way other guys cannot. Like, if those guys are on, if Tatum and Brown shoot the ball well tonight, there's just not much you can do. Because Mobley can defend one of them, or if Okoro's healthy, he could defend one of them. But Wade not being out there really creates a bit of a disadvantage. Vegas has them as 4.5-point favorites tonight over the undefeated Cavs and the best offense in NBA history, Cavs.
Yeah, wait, what's the line again you said?
It was 4.5. I don't know if it changed today.
Okay. I think you're right about everything you just said about what you said about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. That's true. I think it's a measuring stick game. I think Cavs fans are tired of hearing about how weak their schedule is, even though the Boston Celtics have had a weaker schedule by strength of schedule. Now, it's early in the season, but again, if they're going to sit there and you guys are on Reddit way more than I am. You guys have bickered with. I didn't realize there were Celtics fans to bicker with. Not that there's no Celtics fans. There's plenty of Celtics fans. It's just I'm used to seeing stuff between Cleveland and Pittsburgh fans, or even back in the day, like Cleveland and Golden State Warriors fans. I have not seen a bunch of Celtics fans dive bombing into things on social media. But apparently there's a big back and forth between fans and who has the weaker schedule. Well, easily, just by looking at ESPN, it says right here the weaker schedule has been the Boston Celtics. It's negligible in the grand scheme of things, but I don't think anybody could say that. If they do win tonight with the guys that are out, because I do think that these guys play a significant role in one way or the other. Okoro, when it comes down to defense, Dean Wade has done great at stretching the floor. Hopefully his is not too terribly serious. And Caris LeVert obviously does a good job trying to come in, be the microwave, and doing a lot of other things for him.
Caris LeVert's been incredible.
And he's been great to start this season. So these are possibilities here with the first two questionable, the other one out. Like, this could be a tough matchup for the Cavs. If they come out and they win this one, well, then they're 16-0. So then you go, well, okay, how long can this streak go?
Exactly.
But the second thing is, like, all right, you've beaten them. I know that they don't have Porzingis. I know that the regular season is a long marathon of a season, but I think it does make us feel better about, all right, you're an Eastern Conference Finals team, certainly. I think it proves that you're an Eastern Conference Finals team, and then there's a possibility you can get through Boston. Because, I mean, when they do have Porzingis, they are the class of the NBA. I'm not gonna sugarcoat anything like that. But I do think tonight is significant for just our mindset as fans of how we can get through this, how we can get through a second-round matchup and get to an Eastern Conference Finals and see where we would go against Boston.
Yeah, I mean, just remember, like, the overtime win you had last year over Boston, and then any time you can go into Boston. and try to get a victory. You know, these two teams, after they had their series last year, where, again, the games were competitive. You had moments in these games, even when Boston could shoot the lights out and kind of drill anybody, you had ways to stay competitive. And then what Evan Mobley did at the end of the series, where Evan Mobley came alive and had a lot of people around the NBA going, oh, where's that been? Yeah. He can do that. Anytime Horford's going to try to guard him, he can just dominate him like that, which is what was happening at the end of that series. So it does. They're absolutely a measuring stick, even though we're the undefeated team, even though we're the team everybody's talking about, and we're the team at the top of the Eastern Conference standings and the NBA standings. I still think everybody would pick Boston in a series against the Cavs.
I don't think that,
and that's not big disrespect.
I don't think so either.
Celtics have earned that.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I don't find it to be a disrespect to the Cavs. I find it to be more just, this is what the Celtics have been. They had an historic run last year. A lot of people were wondering whether or not they'd be able to finish it off. They did, and now the question is, as they're built the way they are, how many more can they rifle off before that team were to split up in some form or fashion at some point? So your goal is to get in the way of that. You can start to do that tonight. 216-474-0092. Can tonight change how you feel about the Cavs one way or the other? If they win tonight, I do think it opens up a conversation about a finals run. I really do. Or do you think it could go the other way? I don't. Lima doesn't either. We'll see if you guys agree. 216-474-0092.